Don't go. AFK on us.
Follow us online at checkpointxp.com.
Checkpoint AFK.
Welcome to Checkpoint AFK. Welcome to your weekend. This is a place to be for podcast discovery. That's, of course, B-Pod Studios. This is Checkpoint XP's lifestyle show. From cosplay to consoles, we cover everything you care about when you're away from your keyboard. Joining me today, I've got Chad Callahan, Robbie Landis, and Norris Howard.
What up, though?
We are going to be talking about today on Checkpoint AFK. The Final Fantasy VII Remake demo. It's
y'all knew we had to do
it. Our hopes and our fears.
Yes, that's right. It is out. It is playable. If you have not played it yet, now is your opportunity to go and play it so that we don't spoil the experience for you. You can feel free to pause this podcast and come back when you have finished the demo.
Unless you are currently watching us on twitch.tv/checkpoint. XP.
Yeah, then don't go nowhere.
Then don't leave.
Yeah, look, if you played the original, you played the demo, all right? There's no spoilers. Come on, man.
It's an experience. We're going to talk about that.
Things.
We're going to talk about that.
Plus,
also on today's Checkpoint AFK, we are going to be officially ranking Girl Scout cookies.
Because it is that time of year.
It is that time of year. I have a crazy story to share about Girl Scout cookies, but we are going to try to decide definitively what is the best Girl Scout cookie ever.
There's only one.
It's Thin Mints. Anyway, we're going to talk about That's all coming up today here on Checkpoint AFK.
Yeah.
But we like to start this show with an Apple Podcast review.
All right.
Now, Robbie, you and Joe were responsible for Checkpoint AFK last week, and you guys did not read a review. I am solely disappointed.
Did you listen to the episode?
I did listen to the episode.
I read a review.
That was not a real review.
Prove it.
Not a real. I see all of the podcast reviews, sir. That was not a real review.
You know what? Somebody probably removed it for some reason.
Shut up, Robbie.
They can't do that.
Apple might. I'm sure they have a way to do it.
Okay, Apple.
Yeah.
No, absolutely not. Anyway,
every review that we get is cached into our system. We have it here so that even if it does get deleted by Apple, if Apple says, hey, that review is inappropriate, highly inappropriate, we would still get it. That's how awesome and advanced we are at podcasting.
I'm sure if they wanted to go real deep, they could completely move all
phrasing. So
we can talk about it.
Phrasing.
No, we can't. We can't do that. Anyway, do we have a review?
We could talk about.
So normally we start this show off with Apple Podcast reviews.
But
we don't have one.
No,
we have two.
We don't have two.
Three.
We have three.
Are we really going to, like, lose our load on all three of them?
I am definitely not going to read all three of them.
No, because you cannot do that.
You call me out for what I said, but he says we're going to lose our load and no one's going to call him out for that one.
No,
I mean,
that's fine.
I expect that from Chad.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's brand of me.
That's on brand. It's totally on brand. No, but I am only going to read one, but I am going to let you guys choose which one.
Okay, right. Read the usernames.
Yep, that's how we decide it for sure. Easily.
Yes. Okay, so I'm also going to read the title.
Okay, cool.
All right, because they're all 5-star reviews.
Because we're the best.
We are. But, all right, we've got one from Devil Lancer called Cherry New Coat on a Proven Muscle Car.
I'm already sold.
Oh, see, I wasn't sold on the name, but I was sold on the title.
Yeah. That's a good one.
All right.
What's the next title?
Big Lefties 409 has left a 5-star review saying, like it, but.
Okay. And the last one.
And the last one comes to us from Lehman Demon. That's a name I like.
Lehman Demon.
I like Lehman Demon. And the 5-star review is called Keeping Us in the Know.
I got to go with that middle one. I have to know what the butt is, man.
I have to know what the butt is. I always want to know what people don't like.
I was torn between one and two.
Those are the two that I was torn between, but...
Number two.
The butt got me.
I'll vote for number one if you want to.
Can we not split this?
Well, then, yeah. How are we going to... Yeah.
Well, right, we do have an invisible force.
We have an invisible guest.
We do.
Here in the studio who can tie break for us.
All right, let's tie break it.
All right, do we go with number one and number two?
Number two.
Number two!
All right.
I hope people are like, who is this guest?
You'll find out soon.
That's right. All right. Our review coming to us from Big Lefties 409. Like it, but... He says, first heard their national show on the radio in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And good old St. Louis. Good barbecue.
Tuned in ever since.
Hell so, yeah.
Thank you, Big Lefties. Appreciate it.
Where's the butt?
The good.
Love
the banter between everyone. You can tell they're all good friends and get along. I also like the additions of Weird Beard and Chad.
Oh, they got
that's
the name.
That's very nice.
They got, well, right. Hang on.
No, they didn't.
They didn't spell your name right.
That's fair. I'll take it.
They didn't give you the
only,
double D.
Yeah, they only had one D.
Fair.
It's two Ds.
We got you Chad.
That's right. For anyone, who is leaving future reviews of this show, Chad's name is spelled with two D's.
It is.
Hence, when I go live with double D.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't like that assumption that we're all friends.
Yeah,
I don't like none of you motherfuckers.
This is all a ploy.
But anyway,
it's all a job.
All right,
keep going.
He also says, still waiting on a cooking segment with Norris.
That's coming.
To that be honest, is, we talked about
we
this.
We did talk about
like
this.
A possibility.
This is a possibility. We need to figure out logistically how we make it happen. Because I would like to do it real time, you know, but I can't just bring a hot plate into the studio.
You could bring a cell phone into a kitchen.
That's what I'm thinking. I may have to do it that
you
way.
You know
like
what?
Q3,
GoPros,
Q4.
Man.
The GoPros.
The GoPros.
I'll do the GoPros, and I'll have a lav mic.
There you go.
And we'll record it that way.
All right. So... You ready for the bad? Because here's the bad.
I'm ready.
The bad. I miss Joe. That is a bad opinion.
Oh, God.
That's something.
No.
I.
No one misses Joe.
Especially after his Lion King comment.
Yeah,
yo,
that's right.
Shit was...
You're highly in the minority, Big Lefties.
We tried to have him on for today's show, but he's like, I didn't play the demo.
Yeah.
He
didn't do his homework.
Yeah.
He says, I miss Joe. I like a lot of his jokes and quips. His style of humor aligned with my style of humor.
So. This person is dry.
Yeah.
And are we sure this isn't just Joe?
This is just Joe.
It very well could be.
Yo, I'm willing to put the brand down that this is Joe. This is Joe.
Joe wrote this.
Although he signs off by saying, P.S., I don't have time to scroll and search on your website. Can you give me an update on when the Daily Show will return? So... No, we can't give you an update on when the Daily Show will return.
We can't.
What I can tell you is that next week on our website at checkpointxp.com, we do have a brand new show that is debuting.
Newness is coming.
That's right.
Every week at this point.
Content has definitely been going through some flux and some evolution here at
That's
Checkpoint.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you this right now. But I'm going to tell y'all this right now.
Yeah.
This new show. All right, and I'm looking the camera when I say this. This new show is fucking fire.
So
it's fire.
I think we are now safe enough to be able to talk about this.
Can we?
I think so.
Wait, hold on, stop. I need to know. We got to get the green light from Chad on this.
Let's be vague.
All right.
Okay.
I don't like the little coy smile
All
he
right,
gave.
So there's a show coming out.
There's a show.
Can we tell
it's
them what it's
exciting.
Called?
No.
Can we tell them who's on it?
No. We can't.
Okay. So there's a show.
Hold
coming.
Up. There's a show.
Show coming.
All right. Listen.
Week.
There's a show next week about esports.
I could. Yeah. All right. That's fair.
It's about esports.
Okay.
It's in our wheelhouse.
There are graphics. Involved. There's graphics and production involved.
It is probably our second best show next to The Owl's Nest, obviously.
Oh, wow. You're already throwing other identity under the bus there, huh?
Well, because there's no video content produced around there. So, yeah.
Eat a dick, Robbie.
I've been told by multiple people behind the scenes that they think that's our best one.
That's true. Dante's dad came right up to him.
I mean, even from internally,
not
there's people
internally.
Playing favorites. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
All of you can eat a dick.
To be fair, though, the new show hasn't come out yet, so we don't know until that comes out where you rank.
Fine.
Yeah, that's why I said
Oh,
it.
We got to give some love to Echo Revelation. Subscribed at tier 3.
18 months.
18 months.
Total. Yes. Thank you.
Echo, thank you so much. I'll get back on League very soon. Okay?
Although,
I've been busy.
For the Joe missers, there will be something in the future. We still have to work it out. Me and Joe are going to do something in the future.
It's quite distant.
Oh, I think I know what it
quite
is.
Distance. It's going to be fun. But
I think I know what that is.
That's
does it include cleaning out from underneath your desk?
Nope.
Okay, let's tell this story. We got to tell this.
You could go to social media and see it.
But we got to tell this story. So, okay. Chad's desk. Chad, first of all, is like our house mom, right?
Notice how he tries to hide it, too, in the video. Go find the video.
Let's first start with the positives. Chad is our house mom. If you need spoons or napkins or lotion or any essentials like that.
Candy.
Chad usually has it, right? You know, every damn, Chad, I need some lotion. He's like, here, right? So, I also noticed weeks ago that Chad keeps a healthy stock of Monster Energy drinks in his little cubby up above his desk.
Yeah, by the way, I don't want to hear any razzing about drinking Monster Energy drink anymore.
Oh, no, not after the way Chad drinks the motherfucker.
I've calmed down a bit.
I limit myself to two.
A day?
Yeah.
Monster.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do that. But anyway, so Robbie discovered, today that at Chad's desk,
4 grocery bags full of empty cans hidden away under his desk.
Hold on.
There is a cache of empty Monster cans,
and they are hidden behind like another box that he's he puts up to try and keep them down there.
By the way, we work less than like blocks from a Kroger
where you can
very easily take it.
This is my thing. For anyone not living in Michigan, we are the only state where cans...
It's us in Connecticut.
Yeah. Us in Connecticut.
No. We're the only ones with 10 cents.
Thank you. We're the only ones
where you can get 10 cent back.
If you recycle these cans, 10 cent per can. So, look, nothing wrong with keeping your cans. Absolutely recycle. But what does not make sense to me is why you don't have the common courtesy to take a bag a day out with you. Look, there are 4 bags down there. That means in 4 days, you could have nothing down there. We'd have no problems.
If you didn't just happen across it because I spilled my drink, you would have been none the wiser
until that happened. The ants and the mice.
You want ants? That's how you get ants.
To be fair, we're probably going to have more ants because I spilled my drink more than me.
Exactly!
And you wouldn't be?
No. Can-related, though. That was me in my Starbucks.
No, here's the point.
Clean your cans.
All right. If I see one damn ant, okay? If I see an ant, a roach, a mouse, or anything with like more than 4 legs and not a dog or a cat, okay?
I didn't realize you were anti-pet.
No. I'm anti-bug, okay?
We're anti-pest.
And if I see a pest over there, straight up, I'm going to HR and I'm saying, hey, listen.
Chad's going to name them and claim them as pests.
Yeah, if I'm going straight to HR and I'm saying, listen, I love y'all, but I may have to fuck Chad up. I'm just giving y'all a warning.
You know what? I'm taking the Sombra back till you fix that up.
You know what? No more candy.
Mm-hmm.
No more candy.
Fine, you bring in cheap candy anyway.
Why? Cheap. That's Kit Kats. I got a bunch of that's top tier.
The lemon Kit Kats are really good.
Lemon Kit Kats.
They're
delicious.
We
need an AFK just about lemon Kit Kats.
They're really, really
good. Don't you change the subject.
But anyway.
Anyway.
We got to talk about some Final Fantasy.
That's right. Coming up today on Checkpoint AFK, we're going to talk about Final Fantasy VII Remake. The demo is out. You can download it now on PSN, and you absolutely should. It's pretty incredible. We're going to talk about our feelings about the demo and ask you to share yours with us, whether you're listening live over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Share them in the chat or visit us on social media, checkpointxp on Facebook and Twitter, checkpoint_xp on Instagram. Coming up next, the Final Fantasy VII Remake demo.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Hey, I'm Rachel.
And I'm Michaela.
And we are from the Theme Park and Rec podcast. So if you visit the parks often, or maybe you're planning a trip to any of the Central Florida theme parks, we even talk about Disneyland too, you definitely want to check out our podcast because we have tips, we have secrets, and we give you options on how to really maximize your time at the parks.
Download and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Esports is the fastest growing area in collegiate athletics, and Checkpoint XP on campus keeps you up to speed on all the exciting action.
From varsity and club esports tournaments to college curriculums focused on gaming, each week, Checkpoint XP on campus brings you more than just stats and scores.
We're digging to school rivalries, scouting, scholarships, and talking with players and coaches.
Catch new episodes of Checkpoint XP on campus Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
And on demand 24/7 on YouTube, Twitch, radio.com, and always at CheckpointXP.com.
Catch new episodes of Checkpoint XP on campus Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and on demand 24/7 on YouTube, Twitch, radio.com, and always at CheckpointXP.com.
Checkpoint XP on campus, the show for collegiate video gaming and esports.
Don't go. AFK on us.
Follow us online at CheckpointXP.com.
Checkpoint AFK.
Welcome back to Checkpoint AFK live over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. You can join us live on Fridays.
Friday.
And always on demand over at CheckpointXP.com. Remember, brand new show coming next week. Get excited. Check every day over at CheckpointXP.com. This past week, an important milestone for all Final Fantasy fans. The Final Fantasy VII Remake demo is now available on the PlayStation Store. All of us have downloaded it. All of us have played through it.
Yeah.
We have all been at one point or another big fans of either the Final Fantasy franchise or Final Fantasy VII itself. So we talk a little bit about it this week on the National Radio Show, but I thought that we could dive a little bit deeper here today.
A little bit more in the weeds.
Yes, that's right, on Checkpoint AFK. So let's talk about this, because I have to say, I went into it very cynical.
Robbie, I would say, is the biggest skeptic.
Robbie at one point was the biggest skeptic.
Yes.
Before he played it at E3.
Yep.
Am I right?
Yes. Well, and here's the thing. I don't know that I'm not still skeptical about it, or even where the change happened. But I think at some point, because had this just been like the remaster, I think I'd still be firmly in that camp, right? Mm-hmm. But the game has changed so much, right? Just calling it the remake just seems dumb, first of all. It's like a complete reimagining. And what this could potentially do, not just for, you know, Final Fantasy VII, but just for, I think, games in general, I think that it has the potential to be as influential now as what the original one was, which is a weird sort of shift into what my original concern was.
Well, it's almost like the same issue that people had with, like, Hollywood remakes, right? Which is like, you're remaking something that's 20 years old, which in the grand scheme of something like film or TV is not really that long.
Yeah, just go watch the original
But
one.
For video games, that's eternity.
Yeah.
20 years, right?
Especially with how much technology has advanced.
Exactly. So I was skeptical from that standpoint as to, you know, how much could they actually change and make this still feel like Final Fantasy VII. And after getting my hands on the demo, and I too with Robbie played it at E3, but this was a little more than the
E3. They got a little bit more on the beginning, a little bit more on the end.
Yeah. After playing it, y'all, I'm in.
The first thing that I think stands out the most, and first of all, Nate, I agree. I did expect you to come in here and even play Devil's Advocate, if nothing else. But I think the biggest thing that stands out to me is how true they were to recreating the world. And in this case, just the first reactor.
Yes.
But how like one to one, because I was going through one thing, you know, one particular area. My girlfriend's like, is this from the original game? And I'm like, no, this part. And then as I got into the, like the area where you would normally name Cloud, I'm like, this is, which means that part I just walked through is where like the zone line would have been.
Where the zone line would have been.
It's so weird. Right. I remember seeing it and I was looking at the game and I was like, it's weird seeing this exact frame.
From a different perspective.
From a different perspective. Because I was like, I recognize this, but it looks weird. It's like the, it's like,
the one
thing,
it.
It's, the one thing I'll say about it, and this is a little devil's advocate-y, but it's not at the same time, is it makes it feel, the way, the new perspective, it makes it feel so much more linear, even though the first one was.
Actually, I'd agree with that.
It feels linear.
I'd agree with that.
I don't know why.
There was the cynical Nate popped up in that opening scene, like right after you get done fighting the first two Shinra guards and you go into that hallway, and I go, oh, this is just going to be one big long hallway.
Yeah.
But you know, the original game was as well.
But when you think
that's
about it.
Yes, but that's exactly where I came
to. It's because since you had the pre-rendered backgrounds with the top, the isometric view, it didn't feel linear because it's like, oh, I can go left and right and backwards and all this other stuff.
That's a weird concept.
But it is. But 7 is probably of the PlayStation trio the most linear out of all of them.
Until you get out of Midgard, it is all right linear.
It is all linear. Yeah. There's really only one direction or one thing to do.
Because really, they're telling you they're telling you the opening chapter of the story.
Yes, that exposition.
You need the linearity to be able to tell the story.
Yes.
Especially back then when you were also hampered by technology as well.
Yes.
So I think we're going to see a lot of that as well. Although I do think that they have an opportunity to open up to more of Midgard and let you explore it, and I've heard that that is something that this game allows for.
If you guys have not played it, or if you don't want to hear anything about anything with this game, I would advise you to kind of pause right now, because in various reports of the sort of 3-hour demo that a lot of people got out at the Square Enix Studios, apparently chapter 2, which is a whole chapter of the fallout of the bombing of the reactor, which is something you did not get in the original game.
You just went back to Avalanche HQ and everyone was like, good job!
Yeah, you blew up the reactor, you went back to 7th Heaven, and then it was just like, alright, we did it! And it was just like,
There's an entire 8th of the city that's now without power.
Yeah.
And how does that affect people?
But that's the thing, and I love that concept. Because, first of all, I love the concept that they blew up the reactor, but Shinra made it way, way, way worse than what it needed to be.
Well,
I like that concept.
Did it go off? Because, like, it looked like
the bomb didn't go off. Yeah.
Because they didn't finish it.
No, the bomb went off. It just wasn't that strong of a bomb.
It just was a shitty bomb.
Yeah. Shinra lasers.
Yeah.
Because that was everything that was like.
I have a quick question for you, because this is one of the things that we heard early on, that there was a few things that may have been changed from the original to now, right?
Yeah.
But taking a few other things into consideration, I actually have to wonder if maybe this was supposed to be the original plan for the first one, but it wasn't conveyed clear enough. For example, and we're going to have to wait a while before we see this, but in one of the later scenes near the end, when everyone goes back to their families and it's just Cloud and Tifa left on the Highwind, they share that moment sort of like, you know, with the sunset. And nothing is told to happen. Obviously, a lot of people use their imaginations.
Yeah.
But Kitsune said that originally, he's like, yes, it is canon, they fuck. and he said, I wanted to make that more clear in the game. Like, that was supposed to be crystal clear,
but
no questions asked, but wasn't able to. And so I wonder if this idea that, you know, Avalanche didn't actually cause as much damage as they thought they did, but Shinra, being the evil corporation, saw this as a chance to really paint them in a bad light.
They have all the camera stuff on them too in this version, where they're like, there they are. What do you want to do about it? Blah, blah, blah.
I mean, honestly, what I would go and check against is the original Japanese
translation.
That would be the smart one to do it with.
Because there is. You know, we've heard a lot about Barrett's characterization, especially the differences.
We'll get there.
Well, I mean, yes, we will. We're building towards that.
We'll get there. Trust me.
But, you know, a lot of people have made the point that, listen, when you go back and you play the original Japanese game, Barrett is not this kind of caricature. He is a, like, a, he's like a
soldier. He's a military badass.
Yeah. And so, like, I think I was really disappointed when, you know, in the remake, he's still kind of screamy.
He's Mr. T.
But
there are a few things, though, that we saw in relation to Barrett's character that I'm interested to see how they explore. Obviously, the way that the voice actor decided to portray him, that's too bad, right?
Yeah.
But he always had, you know, his relationship with Marlene, you know, his surrogate adopted
that's
daughter.
That's going to be awesome.
Was always really good. Yeah. And there's a moment when they're coming up, when everything's blowing up behind them, where Barrett looks over his shoulder at Cloud, who's just like dead
zen.
Ass, just zen and stoic, yeah. And then Barrett looks down at his own hand, and he can see that he's trembling, right?
Yeah.
So I think that there is going to be some interesting, you know, character building there, but you're right. Why do we have to go with Mr. T?
No, I'm with you, and like I said, I'll get there, but on the reactor point that I wanted to bring up with Shinra, as I think that's a more apt and a more, I think it's a better way to portray that part of the story, because first of all, people already have cognitive dissonance with the fact that Avalanche is eco-terrorists, right? Mm-hmm. Most people still don't. It's like, they're terrorists. And it's like, no, yeah, but they're free to... Let's not even... Yeah. I don't even want to deal with that. But the one thing that I really...
Omega Weltall Reactor 8 was an inside job.
exactly. But exactly. And like, that's the type of stuff that I'm saying that I think is dope, because you're going to have Shinra, which already is fresh off this war with Wutai, mm-hmm. and is looking for the next thing to justify the sort of...
In the demo, they even start to try to tie them to Wutai.
Yes,
yeah.
It sort of justified their continued expansion of Midgar and their military power and this and this and this and this. And I think in this game, the first part of this remake, that's what you'll begin to see, is that the one thing they didn't do good about Shinra in the original game was expand on and explain just how far Shinra's tentacles really reach.
Yeah, because outside in the original game, outside of Midgard, you don't really feel Shinra's influence.
Besides the Turks following you around.
That's it.
That's really about it.
Now, I'd actually like to use that to segue into a concern that you have,
yes.
Nate, and I also share it as well, is again, you know, we're getting apparently 60 hours worth of gameplay just within Midgar. And I think when you do things like start to bring outside influences, you know, tying them to Wutai, talking about a chapter that is going to show us the effects that destroying the reactor had on the city,
sure.
That's the right way to do it. And I think what none of us want to see is this idea of random filler. Right? We're like, okay, you know, now we're suddenly going to have three chapters where we go into Sector 6 to deal with a gang war that's brand new and doesn't actually have anything to do with anything else. Yes.
I think the one thing that lends itself well to Final Fantasy VII, at least, is that there's so much, like, question, like, that you ask. When you play the original, they're like, well, what about this? What about that?
So oh, yeah. There's
the luxury
there's
to kind of
eight
fill
sectors
that, space.
That I want them to build out, but I want it to happen in a way that doesn't just feel like we're side questing over here really quick,
right.
Just to pad out
but
more
I think,
of more gameplay.
But I think that's actually, in my opinion, a strength of what they will be able to do, because when you look at the pacing of the original game at the Midgar part, you could be out of Midgard in like
three
hours.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Right?
Yeah.
So it makes it feel like they blew up the reactor and then they ran away and then he fell down the thing and then he went to Seventh Heaven and they met Aerith. And then after he met Aerith, they went to Wall Market. And it feels like that whole thing happened in like a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, easily.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When that's just not how anything real would happen.
Yeah.
And so I think you do have an opportunity where it's like, guys, we just committed a terrible act of terrorism and we got back to the hideout.
We need to lay low.
Lay low for a minute.
But I still want everything that's happening to feel like it's feeding into the greater story.
Yeah.
Right?
See, no, what I get what you're concerned about. You're concerned about the Final Fantasy 15 effect where it's like,
example.
Yeah, go do chores for the fat guy Lost for no reason.
Okay, okay.
You know what I mean?
15 is totally fucking different because 15's main main story is shit.
I get you. The main story itself is bad. But even the side quest that they send us on, I want it to feel like it is native to Midgard.
Yeah.
I don't want it to feel like, oh, hey, here's a character that looks like Willem Dafoe. Go do his chores. You know, like it's not just unique to Square Enix or Final Fantasy. This is just the doldrums of bad side quest
design. It's just RPG.
Yeah. See, something we all have to keep in mind, right? Regardless of what his legacy is, Tetsuya Nomura was still involved here, and he did help with both FF15 and Kingdom Hearts. So let's not act like some of that corruption couldn't creep its way in here.
It most definitely could, but I tend to find myself a little bit more optimistic from the simple fact that if you gave me a side quest that really breaks down what happens in just about every sector, I love that.
Let us explore all of them.
All of them.
I just don't want to feel like
There's got to be interesting shit in each one of them.
I don't want to feel like I'm being removed from the story to do this other stuff, right?
All
right,
fair.
Well, what if it's presented as an option? You can go to, you know, you have the option of, like, obviously the main quest is going to be marked with, like, a main quest marker,
sure,
right? And then you have side quests, and those will take you off. But you could do the main quest and advance past it if you so choose.
I mean,
That was the one design choice about Final Fantasy XV that I did appreciate. You didn't have to bother doing any of those chores for the fat guy from Lost if you didn't want to.
See, it'd be different if the side quests were to further your growth. So, for example, if it's like, I want to get stronger and I want to find that materia, and that makes sense because
my character would be stronger to do the end goal. Absolutely. If there are not quest rewards at the end of these quest chains, that is a massive...
Yeah, come on.
Area.
RPG 101, Chad.
Yeah, but it's RPG's 101. You got to reward them.
Yeah, well, nobody does the chocobo raising shit in Final Fantasy VII if it doesn't come with the...
Knights of the Round.
It would still make more sense if it was like that instead of it just being like, let's go get some random stuff and I'll, you know, you get this
character
cool,
development.
Like, Phoenix down. It's like,
see, that's the other big thing. Yes. Look, if these quests are helping to fill out the world, develop the characters, and bring us, you know, just more about Midgar in the life that's going on, great. But I don't want to feel like when I go into, you know, whatever the second one is, that there were these, you know, sort of side quests, these side stories that ultimately didn't
go anywhere.
Shit.
Yes.
So
I just don't want it to feel like busy work.
So speaking of characterization and character development,
oh, I'm afraid Nate's gonna hate this,
right?
What?
I'm gonna go on two ends of the spectrum. We just talked about Barrett a little bit.
Yeah.
Y'all know how I feel about Barrett personally.
Uh huh.
Right? Because it's like Japan. Get it together. Like, come on, dog. Like, y'all done know.
You wrote a good piece on it.
Yeah, on the website. If you want to go check it out, go to checkpointxp.com. You can check it out. But I'm just saying, y'all have been around black people for the better part of, like, 25 years.
This shouldn't be a mystery.
This shouldn't be a mystery as to how black people talk. Do you know how black people talk? Normally. So I'm going to get off Barrett for a minute. But one piece of character development I really appreciate is thirsty ass Jesse.
Yes,
I loves me some thirsty Jesse. She's great.
Wait, why would I hate that?
Why would Nate hate that?
Because I feel like usually when you dislike something, it's the side characters. I feel like they're quicker to annoy you than anything else.
That's true. No, but I actually like Jesse. I think that's a really interesting touch that they gave her being kind of thirsty.
I mean, first of all, she was thirsty in the original one as well.
Okay, fair. Fair.
Outlandish.
Did they have to make her look like a supermodel? Like, that's...
I think...
Like, come on. Since when has any female character
in a Final Fantasy not look like a supermodel?
That's what I'm saying. But she's a side character.
Specifically, the breastplate, right? Because you don't actually carve breasts into the breastplate, okay? They just... Women wear the same breastplates that men wear, all right?
Just...
just like
extra padding. I don't know.
Like I just like
slight adjustment.
Ugly her up a little, just a little bit.
No, you know what?
So no, you wanted to get the Yennefer treatment.
A little bit of that, yeah. Maybe not quite that drastic. Dude, you don't need to give her a hump.
Once Cloud and Barrett like left Brianna, were climbing down the thing. I'm like, you know what? Forget Tifa. I'm Team Jesse now.
that's what I'm saying. Like, I would love for. If in this whole thing, right, that I could have, you know, Biggs and Wedge and Jesse as party members.
Yes. Like temporary ones, right?
Temporary party members.
That would have been
nice. That's awesome. Because I definitely want to have my Tifa, Jesse, Aerith party. Well, I don't even want Cloud no more.
And the other thing to keep in mind, too, is that, I mean, obviously, yes, because it's more lifelike, because there's voice acting and stuff, we're obviously going to be closer to these characters right?
Yeah.
But, you know, this way, their deaths are really going to mean something.
And that's my main point.
I'm already dreading it.
I will give you that. Like, I do not want to lose these characters.
So, and that's sort of my main thing, right? Because we know what the culmination of this story already is going to be, at least for this iteration of the series, right? And that was the main issue that I had really with the opening part of 7 is that the plate dropping did not really feel impactful at the end of the day.
Yeah. It sucks because like, you know that people die.
Talk to like 3 NPCs who are like, oh my God, this is terrible. No!
It's
that
fairly
literally
abstract,
is the equivalent of the U.S. government setting up bombs at the Twin Towers and knocking them down.
Yep.
That's what that is.
Yep. Yeah.
And so I feel like they have a massive opportunity not only to make, you know, Avalanche's eventual, you know, sort of deaths to feel impactful, because now they will, because they have personalities and voices and they talk to you and they'll grow with you. But we forget they're about to blow up a 1/8 of a city.
Yes.
Think about that.
Yep.
Like, and it, they have an opportunity to make that feel really.
You
want to
know what moment from the game, even though because of the graphics it didn't have a super high impact, but it had an impact even with the graphics they had, is in that cutscene where the plate's coming down, there's actually a moment where it shows someone watching their TV, and on this person's TV you see the anchor like looks up and like something's collapsing down on him. That's going to be tough to watch.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
That's no, that, be it's, tough.
There's going to be, I think there's going to be some real heart-rending moments.
I feel like if they do
I'm not
chapter.
Ready for it
but I feel like if they do oh. it properly if they do it properly
I think they will
this could be a no Russian level
yeah
emotional
you know
tug,
we once
where
talked,
we talk about like the most heart-wrenching the most intense moments of video games
we once yep. had a it conversation here about whether or not they should change certain story beats because we know it's coming like Aerith's death like this and honestly I think that, again, just because of how much technology has increased, just the stuff they're going to be able to do through sound and through visuals, that it's still going to be just as gut-wrenching.
I mean, it's going to be horrifying.
Yeah. What they'll be doing is they'll be relying less on the shock factor and more on just showing you, like, this is what's happening.
Yeah. Especially if they rev up the character development of Aerith.
Dude, remember, when you're... I'm not even talking about the Aerith stuff. Jesse, Biggs, and Wedge.
Yeah.
Remember, when you're going up to the top of the plate, you find them dying on the stairs.
Well, Wedge gets knocked off.
Yeah, and you don't even get to, like, help them. They basically just tell you, get up there and... I can't deal with it.
Like,
just thinking about it now.
Just the thought of
I'm gonna be like, Jesse,
up.
I ain't leaving you. I got 50 potions and 10 Phoenix Downs.
I got Phoenix Downs, Jesse. But just like walking up to the anchor of the plate where like you don't even get to try to help Wedge.
No.
You just look up. There's big ass Wedge just falling off the thing.
Oh my
like,
God.
Like that shit gonna hurt, though.
It is. Just thinking about it is hurting.
Yeah. So I mean, they have a really, really great opportunity. From everything I've read and from everything I've played, they're doing it justice.
That moment
so far.
Has to have a serious punch, though. It can't just be like a, you know, a shot in the arm. It's got to be a haymaker to the back of the head.
Oh, that's got to be an hour-long sequence, right? Because in the game, it's like 10 minutes. Right in the originals, like
no, they've got a like study film of like
disaster
the San Andreas movie and what else?
Rampage,
Independence Day.
Independence Day is a good one.
It needs to be that level of
you're dropping
of
an
impact.
An
eighth of a city, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of what, the huge. Biggest city in the game?
In the game, yeah. Yeah.
And so, like, that's like actually a major chunk.
Actually, technically, a 16th of a city. Because every
it'd be like
if you, part if you has think slums,
be like if you take the people one part on of the top and dropping it on
okay,
another
okay, but the so, people on top, there's obviously going to be damage up there as well.
Oh,
man.
So, okay, so it would be like if you built right, a plate above Manhattan and then dropped Soho on it, right?
Yeah.
Like that's what it would be like.
Yep.
Yeah.
The people in Soho gone. The people on the plate probably gone too.
You took Manhattan and dropped it on Brooklyn.
Here's an interesting. Actually, here's something that I thought was a really interesting touch, and I didn't really connect it until this moment when they're panning when they do the big pull out right
in
the opening when the train's coming in and they do the big pull out. You're going past slums that are built on the top of these kind of like connecting tubes to the Mako reactors, mm-hmm. right?
I'm glad we have a clarification.
I was
on that
mad with that.
I was mad
like,
that
Mako.
It's not Mako.
It's Mako.
I get it. But like you see these kind of like wood and steel kind of like makeshift structures that exist on top of all of the like industrial shit. So when that plate falls, it's not just the people who are in, you know, buildings and on the street and stuff. Like you've got like the level, the scale of overpopulation in Midgard has finally been able to be driven home by how much they're showing you people living on top of other people.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed a lot of their stylistic choices here. First of all, I love the fact how true the art style is to the OG game.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest thing that, or the, at least the biggest thing I hope to discover from exploring a lot more of Midgard is the level of Shinra's devastation, not only to the environment, but to the economy.
Sure.
What is, I was going to say that.
What is the economy of Midgard
because
like?
That many people gone would... If that ever happened here, imagine the devastation.
But think about it. We were worried about how this is going to feel like it's its own self-contained story. But honestly, if they set up Shinra well enough, Shinra is the enemy for this first game.
And it's exactly.
And Sephiroth becomes the Thanos in the post-credits.
Yes, because that was our big worry is that they have to do more to make Shinra feel like a big bad.
Yeah,
they have to because they never felt like a big bad in the original game. Like you got out of Midgard and it was like, oh, okay, I guess that's over. And you started learning about Sephiroth and you go, oh, he's clearly the villain. Clearly,
right.
They are doing and setting up more about making Shinra feel like a main antagonist. And I think you do that through the world building and all that stuff of this game, then I think even I expect.
Well, and you know what, too? Because eventually, we get further in the game, you do end up teaming back up with Shinra and with Rufus.
Yep.
They do this right. That moment when you have to team up with Rufus will be like when it's revealed that the Emperor is not actually dead.
Yeah. You'll be like, What? You know, so I mean, it's going to be so interesting. I'm so pleased with what I've seen so far, but I still want to see just how much the parts we know affect the parts we don't know. So like we did a whole thing on like the Don Cornero Wall Market thing.
Yeah.
I want to see how much of that is affecting other stuff in the world. Is that a known secret? Does everybody in Midgard just know, like, Wall Market is where you go when you're trying to get your rocks off?
Yeah.
It's like the red light district of Midgard. Like, is that something everybody knows? Or is that, like, a thing onto itself?
Because
I think if it's a thing onto itself, I'd be a little disappointed. If it ties into the sort of overall narrative of what Midgard is, then I think that I'll be over the moon.
Listen, going into it again, I think I was incredibly cynical and jaded. I wanted not to like it. And I ended up walking away very impressed.
So I have one question, Nate, about your opinion on this. The battle system.
Yeah,
I was gonna.
How do you?
You're just stealing on my
I'm
thoughts.
Sorry, Chad.
Waiting for a good moment.
Yeah. So like, how do you feel?
You gotta make your moment.
How do you feel about the battle system? Because you, like myself, like Robbie, we are true blue turn-based, you know, old-school RPG, ATB folks.
So how
do you feel about the battles?
I think that it has definitely made the shift towards action a little bit too abruptly for me to really be like, this is awesome. Right? So I think most of my complaint lies in just how anime the battle sequences feel like they play out. It's not quite as bad as 15 because you don't have the Nightcrawler power, you know, bamfing you all over the place.
I've never heard it explained that way, but so,
that's exactly what it is. But so it's a little bit more rooted in the fantasy that I expect out of the world.
Yeah.
And when I said this before, you know, a lot of people kind of were like, there was an element of that in the original, which there was. Yeah. There absolutely was.
Yeah, because when Cloud does Braver, he's at like a 10-foot vertical.
You are not wrong. I think I don't really love how kind of the abilities have been separated from the limit breaks. Like Braver is an ability. Mm-hmm. It's no longer a limit break. So I sort of feel like I don't have as much of an incentive to like grind for.
Well, we don't necessarily know how you're going to get stuff, which actually,
and we don't know how many there could be new limit breaks.
That's true as well. But see, that's actually where my biggest concern comes from. I think that aesthetically, as far as the narrative and stuff goes, like I have faith in them now. Right.
Yeah.
But now my big worry when you're separating it into games is how do you deal with things from a mechanical standpoint? Because as an RPG, we want to feel a sense of progression and to feel like we're growing in strength from beginning to the end.
Correct.
Right? So now when the second one comes out, what do you do? Do you restore us back to level one? We have to do it all over again because that's lame.
No, you carry over your save file.
So then what happens if you're carrying over your save file is how convoluted is abilities and materia and magic going to get from game to game to game? Because you don't want to play 60 hours and feel like you don't have enough stuff.
Not very.
I don't think that's a big issue.
You take the materia that you have. You take your stats. You take all that stuff is easily trackable. I don't think that's a...
Without getting too bloated? I don't know, man.
I don't think that's a big issue.
What about... This is the one issue that I kind of had, and I guess maybe there could be alternative opinions on it. But I didn't like... You know how you had those little bars?
The ATB.
ATB kind of bars that you...
How old are you, Chad?
What?
I said it earlier. No. I'm genuinely curious. How old are you, Chad?
I'm old enough.
Chad.
Never tells.
Chad.
Chad, were you at least... Hold on. Were you at least 10 years old when this game came out?
When it came out? No.
Okay. No, that explains everything that we need to know then.
But
you are not a child of the JRPG genre.
I was solidly in middle school.
Me too. It's all good. No,
well,
you weren't.
My point was with the bar, the ATB kind of bars.
I was definitely in middle school when I played this, yeah.
When you were 10?
I was in middle school because it was fifth grade. I went over to David Garino's house and we played the demo disc.
Okay, so
I was in middle school.
That's just when you played it. That's not when it came out.
No.
Name dropper.
I think it was. I remember being in like eighth grade and talking about FF7 with my friends in the lunchroom. So that scans.
I didn't play 7 in
middle school. Yeah.
Anyway, your ATB question.
All right, so I didn't care that you had to use up an ATB to use an item.
Okay.
That was the one thing that irritated me because I was like, I feel like that should just in your pocket. How much effort is that?
I'm going to say this. The reason why I didn't mind that is after materia and itemization and all that stuff.
If you could just spam items,
The game would be way too easy.
Yes,
I guess,
agreed.
But maybe there's a timer limit, not so much.
It's designed to stagger those sorts of things to kind of, in a way, mirror the way that turn-based combat.
When you have three party members, you will always. In theory, you should always have an ATB gauge
that's available
to use an item.
I don't know. I just feel like
he's just salty because he actually died.
I didn't
fighting
understand what was happening.
The scorpion boss.
How?
I did. I died too.
Did you?
How?
Did you attack?
My rhythm was totally.
Did
off.
You attack when the tail was up?
I would. I my tactic after the first one because I was trying to figure out like a couple of reasons why like I wasn't doing enough damage, but like I was like, all right, if I stand behind it, it doesn't.
Did you, I don't know, listen?
All right, now to be fair, if you listened to him back in the original, you attacked when the tail was up.
No, I'm talking, this ain't the original. This ain't the original.
He just said, find the pattern, which is.
No, he didn't. He's use magic.
You could only use so much magic.
They tell you the strategy.
Here's the thing. When his shield is up, they do say goes, use magic.
Before that, before anything happens, when he first fight it, he goes use. He's not allergic.
Lightning.
Use lightning.
He's allergic to lightning.
Whatever. I don't know what he says, but then he later on he goes find the pattern or something along those lines.
Attack pattern.
Does say that, but the problem I had with it was that the attack pattern was in this like small circle, and if I would have dodged rolled out, I just dodged roll into the gate, the fence, and I'm still in the circle.
So
I had to
attack
out
from a different spot, man.
Chad, you frightened like you never played a Souls game, my guy.
Chad, get good.
I got good the second time because I figured out a way to get him out of this.
Well, there you go. That's all you had to do.
To be fair, I was just stuck and I got screwed the first time because he was in the corner and my character was in the corner with him and I couldn't get him.
You got pinned.
You literally could have just switched to Barret and Cloud would have just walked away. Like,
I could have.
The AI would have just said, why is he over here? And it would have just walked away.
I was trying to spam
the
square.
Oh, man.
So you were playing it like it was Kingdom Hearts.
I wanted it to be Kingdom Hearts. Mm-hmm. I did. I wanted it to be Kingdom Hearts.
That's what it
was.
No, I played it like it was fucking Dark Souls, and my potions were Estus flasks.
That's
the way to play it.
Well, and to be fair, so the first time I played it, I did not have the rhythm down. So
it took a while.
It did. It took a second. It is because I got to the last phase, and that's where I fell.
That was me too. That's
the hardest part.
Yeah, and the thing that kind of screwed me up the first time is they kept going like use magic when he had the shield up, and I'm going to Barret and using thunder and then not seeing the message that it's immune.
You're not paying attention. You're just
It was like the fourth time I had him use lightning, and I'm like, what is going on? And I go,
select the other target.
Oh, son of no! I did select the other target. It is totally immune to lightning in that moment. You have to use fire.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You have to use.
I didn't even try fire.
Cloud. Yeah, Cloud knows fire. You have to use fire.
I used fire for.
I don't think I used any fire in that.
We were
talking about when you're like has to destroy his legs as well.
No.
The shield.
The shield.
The shield.
Oh, okay.
Have to use fire.
Oh, I just went behind him. No, because if you wait long enough,
you can physically attack.
There's a shield generator, but you have to be behind him to hit.
You can physically attack.
Yeah,
okay.
Either works.
It just took forever if you did it that way. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
But the thing is I really enjoyed the battle system. I thought it was pretty cool.
It's a good blend of all the things that worked for the past several years, but done in a smart way that I feel like still sort of pays the right sort of tribute to the original AGE style.
Here's my biggest complaint about maybe the FF7 demo overall.
The camera's
fucking
bad.
Atrocious.
The camera is very bad.
It really is. But they also use weird words that I don't understand why they're using. Like, what do they call staggered in this?
Stagger.
No, it's pressure.
You
have to pressure
them.
Then stagger.
You pressure them to stagger them.
Is stupid. What does pressured mean?
No,
like, any context, when you tell the player, oh, this enemy is pressured. What does that mean?
You put the pressure on him.
I got it when I was doing it, but
because if you played 13, you recognize that's what it is.
See, but that's what I feel like.
It's a totally superfluous status effect.
Yes, but here's the thing that I will say I probably feel the weirdest about with the game is that it feels like 13 and 15 were nothing but big ass tech demos
for this.
To this point.
Mm-hmm.
And because I feel like the battle system is like Kingdom Hearts plus 13. That's this battle system.
It's a mixture of Kingdom Hearts 13 and 15.
Mm-hmm. And 15, just as an idea, just wasn't even really supposed to fucking happen. And then you just have everything that they did with 15 is like, oh, okay, we were doing that so we could get to the 7 remake.
Yeah.
So if this game is as good as it is, I feel like it almost justifies the existence of the fucking dumpster fire that is 15.
Don't say
a game I actively hate, right?
A game that costs, I think it's...
$90.
Yeah, $90 to get all of the content.
I actively hate that game, okay?
Stupid.
But I feel like it was the stepping stones to get to this point, so...
Maybe. I don't know. Chad, any final thoughts on the demo?
I didn't mind it. I think it's good. However, I will say I'm not a fan of the battle system 100%. I wish it was a little bit more Kingdom Heartsy, less Final Fantasy 15-y.
I can't agree with more Kingdom Hearts in that equation.
Yeah,
but
no.
I can definitely agree with less Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree the less 15, the better.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, coming up here on Checkpoint AFK, it's time to really throw down because we're going to rank Girl Scout cookies. That's coming up next here on Checkpoint AFK.
Esports is the fastest growing area in collegiate athletics, and Checkpoint XP on campus keeps you up to speed on all the exciting action.
From varsity and club esports tournaments to college curriculums focused on gaming, each week, Checkpoint XP on campus brings you more than just stats and scores.
We're digging to school rivalries, scouting, scholarships, and talking with players and coaches.
Catch new episodes of Checkpoint XP on campus Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
And on demand 24/7 on YouTube, Twitch, radio.com, and always at CheckpointXP.com.
Catch new episodes of Checkpoint XP on campus Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and on demand 24/7 on YouTube, Twitch, radio.com, and always at CheckpointXP.com.
Checkpoint XP on campus, the show for collegiate video gaming and esports.
Hey, I'm Rachel.
And I'm Michaela.
And we are from the Theme Park and Rec podcast. So if you visit the parks often, or maybe you're planning a trip to any of the Central Florida theme parks, we even talk about Disneyland too, you definitely want to check out our podcast because we have tips, we have secrets, and we give you options on how to really maximize your time at the parks.
Download and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Don't go AFK on us.
Follow us online at checkpointxp.com.
Checkpoint AFK.
Welcome back to Checkpoint AFK on a bit of a dreary Friday.
Yeah.
Awfully gray. Yeah.
It is. It is pretty gray.
Because apparently right now in Michigan, we are in the deception of spring or something.
Yeah. I've seen this. That is the greatest graphic. Yeah. Yes.
False spring or
false,
something.
Yes, false spring. False spring.
We're here.
Just a quick thing. We were talking during the break. Would you rather have the food from 15 or the food from Monster Hunter?
Monster Hunter, because of the cats.
I gotta go with 15, man. Ignis is like the fucking Wolfgang Puck of RPGs. He's that guy.
Yeah, but he's kind of a dick, though.
Ignis isn't the dick.
He's kind of a dick.
No, Ignis is great. He's the only one with any real motherfucking hero fucking capabilities.
Here's the problem. He sees himself in Ignis. He doesn't realize he's a dick.
Yes,
he is.
I see. Glasses, bougie, great vocabulary.
Dick.
Great fashion sense.
Dick. Omega, just kind of a dick.
Fine.
Omega just kind of a dick.
Fine. Saying Monster Hunter as well. So,
so
you can't eat that much, Omega Welltall.
So
flat out.
I had an interesting experience the other day when I went to the grocery store. The grocery store that's actually near my apartment is very small, especially for a Kroger. It's like maybe half the size
it's a very little Kroger.
Of a normal Kroger, right? Yeah. And while I was in there, I bought my groceries and I'm trying to leave, but there's a huge line. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I'm just annoyed at this point, right? And as people are very slowly kind of filing out of this Kroger, I notice that what is holding everyone up is there's a Girl Scout cookie stand right at the exit. And there is a woman who has, and as I'm walking by, I can hear her total being rung up by the Girl Scouts. She has bought over $400 worth of Girl Scout cookies.
That's a problem.
Wow, man.
That's drugs. Holy.
So they're taking entire, like, the brown boxes of the Girl Scout cookies out to her car and taking down her address to deliver the ones that they don't have on site. That's insane to
me. That's a drug habit.
And I can't fathom what the reason, the impetus.
That's got to be like
for buying over $400 worth of Girl Scout
cookies.
That's
got to be like for the office or something.
That's what I'm thinking.
One of two things. A, for the office, or B, she has so much disposable income, she's like, I'm going to make these girls day right now.
It is gross point. So.
And can I make a comment that we mentioned Girl Scout cookies and Weird Beard just
Weird Beard just appears.
It's like you say it three times in a mirror and it's just...
So you're the candy man of Girl Scout cookies.
Yes. Is that how we actually get to show up then when we need shit done?
I need to say the trailer for the new Candyman movie looks insane.
I thought people would be very divided where they would either love it a lot or they'd be like, this is kind of dumb. I think it was great.
I think it looks awesome.
Let me explain something to y'all. Okay?
Jordan Peele is the producer. He's the producer of that. He's not the director. He's the producer.
Let me explain something to y'all. Okay. Let me explain something to y'all, man. Black cinema is about to come back strictly through Jordan Peele.
He is the catalyst
of it. Jordan Peele is about to start bankrolling remakes of really bad black movies.
By the way,
and make them awesome.
Norris, he's also a producer for The Hunters as well.
Is he really?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
No, first off, AFK, me, you, Robbie, we're just going to talk about that show when we're done.
You know what? I'll commit. I'll watch it. If we're gonna plan on talking about it AFK, I'll commit to watching it.
Let's wait a couple of weeks so you can catch up.
We got a comment in the chat saying, I used to be a Girl Scout. A $400 order would have been the highlight of my life.
I could imagine little girl's face.
I will tell you, I sold Boy Scout popcorn when I was younger.
You know, the Boy Scouts just filed for bankruptcy.
They did. But they
should have sold cookies.
I don't know why. They just sold lots and lots and lots and lots of popcorn. And I always prided myself.
It was never good.
Yeah, but I thought that I was good at selling it. And then by the end, I'd always walk in like cocky as could be. And then there was some guy whose dad obviously bought a shit ton of everything.
Or it wasn't his dad.
Or he went to work.
He took it to work.
Yeah, something like that. And it's just like, great, whatever.
Y'all friend, like, listen, we had this in Southeast Michigan. We had the Morley candy sales back in the day where he would sell candy. And you could potentially win so many prizes.
You could get like a 4-inch screen television.
Yes. And let me tell you something. The kids that always sold the most were the kids that had like dope dealer older brothers or stuff like that. Because they would take the little pamphlet over to the dope dealer brother's house. They would take it to the trap. And he would buy, you know, $1,200 worth of candy because... whatever.
Yeah.
And they would come back and win bikes and shit.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, yo, how did you sell that much? And I remember this one girl I asked her. I was like, how did you sell this much? She was just like, oh, I just asked my brother. And I was like, oh, I know your brother.
What's your brother do?
Was there a point where you realized, like, I remember a vivid point in my life where I went from thinking that they had a lot of dope prizes, like an N64.
Yeah.
What seemed like, I think I sat in an assembly one year and the grand prize thought it must have been like $5.
Yeah.
Like it was just some bullshit scrap ass prize.
I remember the first year I did it, one of the biggest prizes was a snowboard, and I wanted that motherfucker bad. I wanted that so bad. And I of course didn't get it because you have to sell like
$10,000. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. That shit on your own.
Yeah, exactly. And by like the last year that my school was involved with it, yeah, like the prizes were
trash.
Like, yeah, it was like, here's a bean bag, and you're like, what? Are you fucking kidding me? I would have gotten
like a beanbag chair.
No, just a beanbag.
Like for cornhole.
The picture would be of like a kid sitting on a beanbag chair, and then you get this beanbag, and you're like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this?
I remember one year, like, because you remember how they would be like in tiers?
Yeah.
So it'd be like tier 4 or 5, whatever. In the top tier were the pegs for a mongoose bike. Not a mongoose bike.
Just the pegs?
The pegs.
Oh,
here's
no.
Here's the chain to the bike.
I'm like, figure it out. You gotta be fucking kidding me, my guy.
Do you guys remember the Pepsi, like, when you would collect the caps and you'd get Pepsi points?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
No,
I redeemed so much shit from that program.
Go back even further. Remember when you could actually pop off the top of a Pepsi or something and get a free one?
Yes.
Like walking into the party store.
That was part of the Pepsi points, I think, yeah.
Eventually they went into the points and that, and now it's just like point shit. But I remember going in, buying one, opening it up, being like, oh, this is a free one. Right?
Yeah.
Give them a dime with it. They let you walk out with another one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Boom. Let me tell you the illest shit. I'm not sure if anybody remembers this, but I was looking. I had an old jewelry box that I used to keep like watches and when I was a kid, right?
Jewelry.
Yes. And so I walked over to it because I just found it. It was like buried in my closet somewhere. And I opened it and I had one of those little, you know, cardboard caps from Taco Bell. When Taco Bell did a Nintendo promotion,
I remember
where
that.
You could collect points and you could win all sorts of free shit.
I remember.
And it was a 64 pointer. It was like the third highest one you could get.
The one, yeah.
And it had a picture of Fox McCloud on it. And I'm looking and I was like, when did this expire?
That's a Simpsons episode.
1997.
I wonder if this was. Bro, do you know when it expired? It was like 2004.
Really?
Like, that's how long you would have been able to redeem those, man.
Man, I like the McDonald's Monopoly game.
I was so mad.
Were you one of those people who had Boardwalk for like 6 months and never got Park Place?
Yes. And I know those greedy fuckers have to be putting the pieces in like obviously geographically, regionally different areas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You already
know. They knew what they were doing. It wasn't down to randomness.
You don't play the lottery in the city.
We had an entire gang of people on my wrestling team in high school because there was a McDonald's across the street. So we had a team board.
Yeah.
And so we would go and collect. We only won one prize on that board.
Oh, no.
Wow.
The entire, with tens
Even
of people.
Like just the burger or whatever?
Everything. Like, it's just nothing. And it
so
was,
y'all was like a lottery pool for kids.
Yes, and it was so frustrating. You can't win it. It is rigged.
I don't know.
Rigged.
I remember. I won at least a fry or something.
I was gonna say,
that's not a real prize.
That's not what he's talking about.
He's talking about they
never money. Got all three or two properties.
I've never gotten a prize.
Money, cash.
No.
Okay, because winning a free fry or a double cheeseburger is some bullshit. That's not real.
Yeah, the reason why is the same reason that they pared that down so much is because the employees were taking all the stuff home and finding all the winning stuff on them.
I'm like, is there any corporate like contests that you believe or have faith in? And
no.
I instantly know if a company goes.
Oh,
I believe in hours. What we're doing
radio contests. Clearly, Weird Beard. Yes, of course. Ours are not rigged.
To be fair, we pull it, so we know.
So we know the legitimacy of these contests.
We ain't.
But anyway, that was a weird tangent.
Yeah, no. But the answer is no.
Yeah.
Realistically.
Yeah, I don't know where we went.
Absolutely not.
But anyway,
yes. Going back to Girl Scout cookies.
Hell yeah.
$400 worth of Girl Scout cookies is insane, but it got me thinking, like, what are the best Girl Scout cookies that are out
there's
there.
There's only one answer, bro.
Before
we get into this, we need to recognize that there is going to be some bias here, okay? So for you two, when was the last time you ate anything other than a Thin Mint?
That's true.
3 months ago. No.
To be fair, too.
Four months ago.
The tier system.
The last round of Girl Scout cookies. I got a box of Thin Mints. I got a box of Samoas. And I got a box of Tagalongs.
All right. So you actually kind of spread it out a little bit. All
Absolutely.
Right. Fair enough. Because when me and my girlfriend went, we got caught by the same one you did. Coming out of Kroger.
Yeah.
There's the table right there. She got three boxes of Samoas.
It's a shakedown every time.
Yeah. She got three boxes of the Samoas. And I wanted to try the new Lemon Up. So I'm like, all right, get me that.
Girl Scout cookies at the grocery store might as well be the 5 o'clock free crack giveaway.
Yeah. I wish they
like straight up.
I wish we would have got more Lemon Ups because first of all, Katie ate half of those, then went to work on herself.
Are they good,
dude? They're amazing.
Yeah,
they're so good.
I wish. I wish that we could do a more subjective ranking than this. We gonna do a
caucus style.
Yes.
Where you gonna have first, second, and third pick.
Yes, and way we'll do it in tiers. So we're not gonna do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5
because S level, A level, B level, C level, D.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay, yeah. Right. So multiple ones can be
even
in the
S level. If it's not your favorite,
gotcha.
It could be higher.
But you can only choose one for S, right? Like you can only choose one per tier.
You can do more than one per tier
because there's two S tier Girl Scout cookies, in my opinion.
So everyone's gonna be mad at me. I've already ranked the way they should be, but we'll see.
Anyway,
I'm not gonna say it out loud. Chad, you have to watch it.
Do you want to fight? Is that what this is?
I am on the thing right now, and this list could not be more.
At me.
It's wrong.
At me.
Where'd you put the Lemon Ups?
I wasn't sure what the Lemon Ups would look like because I don't think they're on this version.
Give a fuck about Lemon Ups, okay?
You haven't had a Lemon Up, obviously!
Hold on, this is already...
You said you were going to bring cookies in so we could try them!
We need to be gentlemen and scholars on this. So,
that's not happening.
Can you start from the bottom of your tier list, Chad?
This is Chad's tier list.
This is my tier list. This is D level. Okay, mainly, and I will
just
say
tell
this.
Us
just
what they
tell
are.
Us fuck
all
your
right,
explanation.
I'm not gonna explain. All right, I'm putting the Thin Mints down there.
No, wrong. It's already wrong.
Already wrong.
It's already wrong.
Wrong.
D Tagalongs. That's the peanut butter ones.
Already wrong.
Both the peanut butter ones that are on this list are all D level.
What do you have against peanut butter?
They're just not my favorite. I don't mind them.
What Girl Scout raised you?
Hurt you?
Yeah.
That one bitch Sally on the corner.
Are you?
She's fucked me.
Sally must have shit in your cookies and then sold them to you.
That's why I don't like these nasty cookies at the bottom
of the D-level tier list. Let's flip it. Start with your S tier because I'm much more.
What is your favorite?
Robbie might agree with me on this. Lemon Ups aren't technically on this cookie list, I don't think. But it was the Savannah Smiles, those. It's the lemony powdered ones.
Mm. Ugh.
They're my favorite.
Those
ones.
Are disgusting.
Savannah Smiles?
Those are disgusting.
I've never even heard
those
of
those.
I don't think they have them anymore because I went to look and they only had Lemon Ups now. So it's like they just replaced them.
I mean, even on the website, they've got Lemon Ups and Lemonades, but there's no.
What the hell are the Lemonades?
You are sober. Why are you making our tier list?
Yeah, this was.
Anyway.
Yeah, yeah, no, you should not. Rick, you should not be in charge of our tier list at all.
No, get out. Get out.
No.
Put me in this position.
No, you. Switch him spots and you go clean out your desk.
Anyway, Rick,
just clean up the bottles.
It's your. We'll do it together collectively as gentlemen.
Good.
So everybody has to go around. What is your S tier?
We already know.
Cookie. All right.
All right. Starting with
me and Nate gonna agree on this.
Starting with who?
I'll jump in.
Okay. Fine.
Gave mine,
we'll start with Rick. Yeah, we know yours.
I've got to put. People hate coconut. I like Samoas so much. I want to put Samoas in there.
Let me tell you something.
Samoas are high on
my
list.
Let me tell you something.
They're not us.
Samoas are real close to my S.
They're so good.
They're not so good. But they're not quite us.
But they're not quite S.
We got one vote for
A tier.
Yeah, okay. I'll accept an A tier.
A tier.
Yeah, I will agree,
Robbie,
with Samoas.
Question, are
A-tier.
You guys all big coconut fans just outside of these cookies?
Yes.
No.
Yeah,
I am not.
He's not.
But
okay,
I am not.
Because that's my thing. I hate coconut.
But do you like Samoas?
They're fine. I'm not gonna argue against you guys on it.
Like, listen, I'm not running out and buying Almond Joys or Mom's.
No,
those are not nearly my favorite.
Those are just not great.
No, they're not. But there's something about the Samoas. Samoas that don't
toast it.
They don't. They do not have the same consistency as other coconut candy
because they're not chewy.
Yes. I think it's also because they put like it's. I don't think it's just toasted. I think they literally dip it in just pure sugar. After
then toast.
That's possible.
And then toast.
That's possible.
Like, let's burn it.
I agree with them at A, but they're not like I have to be in the right mood for a Samoas.
Yes, I agree with that. Yeah. Samoa is not an everyday cookie.
That's an it's an egg. What, solidly egg.
Which is what keeps it out of S tier for me.
Yes.
Okay. Wait. Girl Scout cookies has two flavors of cereal. One of them being Samoa.
See, there you go. Now,
all right. Okay.
The obvious S tier is Thin Mint.
Thin Mint.
Obviously.
Yes.
So
obviously.
Two for Thin Mint.
Do we have any dissenters?
No.
Hang on. No, we know what this side of the room's opinion on Thin Mints are.
I'm going to D-level that shit.
Robbie,
how do you feel about Thin Mints?
What is your opinion about Thin Mints?
I don't know that they're S tier. They're high for sure because they're as classic as you can get.
I can
right?
be convinced. I'm in the middle.
There's
I want
garbage that, classics too. Come on.
No.
What?
Shh. Let me take.
Get out!
No, listen to me. Thin Mints are S tier for these reasons. Number one, classic. You can eat them technically every day.
Always
right?
good.
Always good.
Always
name
good.
Name me a time you got a bad box of Thin Mints.
Every fucking, time I've gotten one.
Fucking never. You've never got a bad box
every
of Thin Mints, okay? The perfect blend of chocolatey
perfect
and
blend.
Minty, right? Because
here's the thing.
It keeps the chocolatey from being too overpowering, but the minty doesn't make you forget that these are chocolate
okay,
cookies.
Here's the thing. Most people... If they say that their favorite Girl Scout cookie is Thin Mint, most people, I think, would also think that they also like a York peppermint patty.
But, okay. Hang on.
I do not like
that's
York
not
peppermint patty.
Not true.
But to be fair.
I do not like them. Too much mint.
I'm gonna argue.
Too much mint. Shut up for a minute.
Shut up, Chair. It's
Mute
a different
him.
Mint.
Mute him.
It's a different.
You're real
He's
close.
He's teetering
to
on a mute. This
you're,
is
you're
the
close.
Issue that
you're
I
close.
Have with Thin Mints being too high, right?
Okay.
And it's kind of for a similar reason you're talking about the
peppermint patty,
right? Because
yes.
I think a lot of people do probably think you know one or the other. I think that because they're so classic, because they're so loved, right? Thin Mints are a little basic as a result.
Yes.
Shut. You know what? Never mind. I take it back. I take
fine,
it back.
S tier.
S tier.
Okay.
Thin
Mints are S tier.
That's now the majority.
It's an S tier now.
That's now the majority of the room, and Thin Mints go officially into S tier.
Is a Thin Mint the Girl Scout cookie equivalent of pizza?
Yeah.
Yeah, they just kind
which, of... Which, like, it's real hard to fuck it up.
Yeah.
You'll probably... Okay. You don't really
sure.
often get a bad one.
Fine, but it's the hot and ready of Girl Scout cookies.
Shut up.
Chad.
No.
So, hold on. No, fuck that, Chad. How many hot and readies do we consume in this office?
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying... It's
either
right.
way, make
okay.
sure you put the Samoas in the A tier. We agree
okay,
on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Samoas
right.
are in the A tier. Thin Mints are solidly in S tier.
I'm only going to really argue for one, and of course it's a new one, so none of you have actually had them, so you can't really, you know, you can't take my
I
word
have
for
one.
It. You have. All right.
Lemon Ups, yeah.
This
yeah.
is why the Lemon Ups are good. Oh, you have. All right. Yeah. This is why I enjoy the Lemon Ups. And the shit that you were talking about earlier, gross. And even the lemonades, like, I don't
fuck
remember
you.
Ever having those, so they must not have made too,
I don't
much,
know what those are
too much of an impression.
Yeah, I don't know what those are.
This is what's great about the Lemon Ups, because when we got them, I ate the first one, I'm like, oh, that was good. I went and sat back down, and almost immediately was like, I need one
I
more.
I gotta go get another one.
And to me, this is where you hit that perfect sweet spot. You don't want to take the whole thing with you and, like, eat them all right away, but you keep going back.
Nah, you'll
right?
do that with some Thin Mints, shit.
But this is where they really get you, because the Thin Mints are held together by the fact that they're mint and chocolate,
facts,
right?
Facts.
The worst thing about cookies is when they get too crumbly on you, right?
Facts.
But the Thin Mints, they are sort of a wafer, so easy to do, but because of the like lemon-like coating that they have on the bottom, it keeps them together perfectly, and they come with these great little motivational sayings on the top of them.
You, listen.
I've not looked at it.
You pick one up, and it's like, you're a leader.
Who reads their food before they eat it?
I'm going to say this.
I don't.
Robbie,
really.
I agree with you that the Lemon Ups are a very powerful newcomer. To the lineup, to the Girl Scout cookie lineup.
I'll give them A tier.
That's fine. No,
I don't think I'd give them S though.
You haven't had it yet though.
You're right. You are correct. I will give you that.
But with that said, I do think that there are stronger cookies.
I think it's a B tier.
In the lineup, I think the Lemon Up is a B tier.
I think it's up and coming. It has room to grow.
It's got room. It's got upside.
Let's pretend that these lemonades, which I'm assuming these are the Lemon Ups.
Yes, that's fine. Put them in B tier.
Are we...
I'm with you, Team B, all the
okay.
way.
Okay, Nate, wait, hold on, time out. Where are
personally,
you, Nate?
Personally, I'm A-ing it.
Without,
do you abstain?
I have to abstain. I haven't eaten them.
Okay.
I have to.
I'll Robbie?
I'll A.
See, I'd put them in S, but I was going to settle for A.
All right.
No.
So.
Or half. I was going to A it.
So a split between A and a split between A and B. Can you put them in the middle?
Yeah, no. Do we want to
B plus tier?
No. So put them in A. We'll round up. Right. We'll round up. Put them in A.
All right.
I disagree, but we'll round up. Put them in A.
All right. Let me make another entry here. I want to argue for the first reason why a cookie sucks. Is I want to argue for the wild berry or whatever ones the that are in there.
One? They're. I don't think they make them anymore, man.
They're good. They're terrible. all right. Well, then I guess.
Yeah, fuck
you're,
it.
You're
so the next one up is the tag along.
This is God damn it.
So wait, hang on. You're I'm the one that you were talking it. About is thank you very much.
Yes. That's yes. It. Those are shit.
What a terrible name too.
I do believe that these are no longer available.
Okay.
I do. If
thank God.
If the Girl Scout cookie website itself is to be believed. These are no longer.
If it's not on the Girl Scout site,
it's not
listed.
Is it
vintage now? Does
right.
It sell
but anyway,
for 10 times more?
Moving
they,
along.
Listen, they have an entire page called Meet the Cookies. And son of a bitch, if Savannah Smiles aren't on here,
I know they're good. They're one of my.
Listen, no, I don't believe you.
Listen,
but that's okay.
Moving along.
Okay,
this is gonna rip
the tag along.
Apart.
The tag along.
Oh, what's the no. other peanut butter one?
Where? Stop talking, Chad. We are on tag-alongs.
I just want to know what the difference is.
All right. Now, Rick, you seem to have feelings about the tag-along. Where do we go?
I love tag-alongs. I love them.
You know what they are? They're a cookie version of peanut butter cups.
They are. And I love them so much, but I cannot in good faith give them an A rank. I can't do it.
Not even an A.
It's a B to possibly
you get,
C.
You get real sick of them really quick.
Yes,
that's the thing. I can put them at a B because, yes, the peanut butter, eventually you're like, all right, I've had
it gets saccharine sweet.
Yep. Yes.
That's the problem.
For me,
it's the chocolate, actually, that does it. It's not the peanut butter.
So
the
for as
yeah.
much as I also love the tag along, I agree with you guys because you can't eat them all the time.
I also agree. I think that's solidly B.
So it's a B tier for the tag.
Solidly
B.
So
it's a B tier.
So the other peanut butter cookie are the Dosey Doughs. That's the peanut
That's
butter.
That's what
sandwich.
The Dosey.
Never
does.
Heard of that.
These the
are,
peanut butter sandwich.
Yeah, they're peanut butter sandwich ones. They're like if your grandma had to make a peanut
yep.
butter cookie.
Yeah,
yep.
it's sort of like imagine an Oreo instead of but they're like sugar
filling.
They're sugar cookies and with peanut butter sandwich in the middle.
D tier.
Dosey Doughs. Yeah, D tier as well.
There's.
Too crunchy. Too much crunch.
I actually don't mind them.
Sound good.
Look.
I'm not arguing.
Girl Scout cookies, you'll eat if they put in front of you. So, of course, you don't mind any of these.
Okay, damn straight. Yeah.
All right.
I'm not arguing for higher than C.
I think those D.
Yep.
I'll D it.
All right. It's D.
All right.
D. Next up. Tree foils.
What are tree foils?
Those are the aren't they the
shortbread?
Yes, the shortbread with the
ones?
Chocolate underneath it.
Oh,
they are also like I find an odd interest in them every once in a while. Sometimes I fucks with it.
Sometimes you need a basic.
They're a C.
Yeah,
they're very much like it's sort of like listen. I don't want anything too sweet.
Are they like a butter cookie?
A little bit.
It's a shortbread.
It is the closest you're going to get to it out of the Girl Scout cookie line.
So here we go. Will we agree that trefoil is like baseline?
C.
Solid. Trefoil is baseline C.
So yeah.
Do you agree with that?
I'd put them at D, man. They're boring. There's nothing.
They're boring, but sometimes
if
I fucks with them.
If you put a spread in front of you of any combination of Girl Scout cookies,
those are getting
these
left.
Are always going to be the
no,
last
those
ones.
Those peanut butter ones we just talked about are getting left.
I'd take them over that.
I'm taking
the ones that have the chocolate on the bottom. Those are the thanks a lots.
Oh, okay. Well,
the trefoils are just
shortbread.
So I would put that in D, and then if they added chocolate. chocolate, bump it to a C, but that's like literally my ceiling.
I like boring things every once in a while. So I put it at a C.
So okay, so we're putting the trefoils at D. And what are we putting at C? The ones with the chocolate.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
I disagree, but I'm not willing to argue.
Two birds, one stone. It's the same cookie.
I'm not willing to argue it. Now we're getting into the kind of the offshoot ones. Ooh. We're getting to the random.
I'm not even sure these are going to match up with what you have over here.
I've got Toffee-tastic.
These are like the Pokemon mystery dungeons.
Yes.
Do they look like weird holes?
They look like rice cakes in this picture.
They look like that.
The point is if you don't know what the fuck they look like, they're D level.
Yeah, I've never had a Toffee-tastic.
Wait, hold on. Do we not have an E tier that we can put them in?
No, there's only
no.
D's level.
No, all right.
D tier.
Yeah, I think that's a D, man.
D tier.
I've not had it, though, so I don't know.
But you don't know what the fuck it is.
No, I'll tell you this. I don't want it.
Yeah. I'll try it, but I don't know if I
don't
like it.
Listen, I don't like toffee. I'm pretty
sure. It's an old person's
I'm
snack.
Pretty sure that I'm not going to like
sure.
it. Another one that I've got here, caramel chocolate chip.
I'm in.
I've never actually seen these.
I've never did.
I mean, it's
like
chocolate chip. That's like one of the classic jokes.
The thing is I feel like if I had the option to try it, I would have.
See,
I don't think I've ever seen these.
I just feel like they're out there.
I say they're a C.
Oh no, I'd argue for a B. A chocolate chip doesn't go below a B.
I think it's a C because if you think of a chocolate chip cookie, you're not gonna go get Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, hold on.
You're
hold
gonna
on.
Go get fucking
hold
Chips
on.
Ahoy.
You're gonna get the Reese's Chips
guys,
Ahoy.
Guys, calm down here because now I'm gonna have to disagree with you and go with Norris because I'm reading about it now. First of all, the reason you've never seen it is they're only offered in select Girl Scout Council markets while supplies last.
Hold on!
They are also gluten free.
Ooh,
fucking D tier.
Yeah, that's not going to be good.
The stock on that cookie just
so quickly.
Son, listen, my girlfriend is gluten free, and I have had a good gluten free cookie. I can tell you not. That ain't it.
Right.
D tier.
Question: do Girl Scout s'mores count? Do those count as Girl
the
Scout
new
cookies?
Are those the sandwichy ones?
There's two different kinds. There's the sandwich, and then there's the chocolate dipped
version. Why would they not count?
Do they come in a colored box?
I have no idea.
Well, I don't know. Okay, the Lemon Ups and these the sandwichy s'more ones
come
in these like plasticky kind of Oreo style. Bag.
I'll say no.
Because the lemon.
I did not know they were Girl Scout cookies.
Do you guys not like the fact that you can just tear open the thing and then reseal it?
No. I was gonna say if it comes in the same package as the Lemon Up, which we did rank technically by the letter of our bylaws, we must count it.
I'd say we count them. Absolutely,
we have to count.
I will say I've had the sandwich ones, not the chocolate dipped ones.
They were
phenomenal.
They're very good.
I've never had them,
so I'm gonna take your word.
I'm always one for s'mores stuff, right? But I don't know the like graham cracker that they use. Something about it. I don't like it.
You know what? No, it's not even the graham cracker, man. What are they using for the marshmallow flavor? Because it's not gonna be marshmallow.
Imagine Oreo.
Yeah, I'm
filling.
I'm out.
But it's the same.
It says marshmallow filling.
I abstain.
I'm going to 1,000% because if you get the s'mores. Or no, I think it's just marshmallow chocolate. But it's like, this be s'mores. Oreos, they're the best Oreos.
They are not.
And they're very similar. They are 1,000%.
They are not.
Oh, God. Can we compromise? I will send half of my delegates to you. You send half to me. We'll meet in the middle at a C.
Yeah, I'll agree on
that. All right, fine.
So, no, it's a C. It's a C.
Yeah, I think it's a C.
I can.
And we're on the last ones now. What are these last ones?
I think that's it.
Images.
I think that's it. Yeah, that's all the.
What ended in our S tier?
Well, okay.
So here we go. Take that bullshit out the S tier.
I'm leaving it up there.
Take it out.
No one is going to agree with that.
Chat. You don't have to agree with it. It's staying on the board.
Chat.
You're the Donald Trump of this room.
We voted on this.
Hey, we also voted for Donald Trump. Well, not us.
Nobody
but
in here.
America.
No.
America did.
Yeah, no.
Chad, you're ruining the sanctity of this segment right now. Move them off the board.
I will move it to the bottom.
Move.
You could double. No, I'm moving this to B.
Fine,
least.
Whatever. But get them out of S tier.
Yeah, all right. This is for sure not S tier.
Chad, read off our results, please.
The S tier is supposedly the worst cookie of all. The Thin Mint.
Thank you.
A tier is going to be Samoa and what were the lemon ones?
Lemon ups. Yeah.
Lemon ups. And then the B tier goes to Tagalongs, and I guess Savannah Smiles will go here. I'll accept it as middle of the road.
Didn't even make them anymore.
I'm devastated about that.
Literally, like I'm on the ordering page for them, and they are not in here.
They're living next to the. They're like living right on top.
Along
of
with the Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity or whatever the fuck cookie that was.
You know what? You're the Joe today.
Ugh. I will take that. You know what? I'm gonna go to Joe. I understand his pain. I'm gonna. Talk with him later and we're just gonna cry.
What's the C level?
The chocolate one on the bottom. I don't remember the name of that one.
Oh, the thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. And yeah. the graham cracker chocolate s'mores ones. Mm.
And all then right. D tier is everything else.
D tier is just trash.
The rest of
just
them.
So as we predicted, the best Girl Scout cookie of all motherfucking times. The Thin Mint.
I love that you're like, as we predicted, of our own choosing.
Yes. I'm going to bring some lemon ups in for Nate, and I'm going to work to change
them. Yo, the lemon ups are good.
Because this is the other good thing about lemon ups that I just realized. Because they have that coating on the bottom, as you bite into them, you're getting like the best of both worlds. You have like the wafer sort of feel and flavor on the
and
top.
And then lemony.
And then that sweet lemon sort of... Yeah, on the bottom of the coating.
Echo Revelations, best Oreo tier list next week.
No.
We're soon. Not doing
that
Oreo
next first of all, I'm down.
The next time we do a you're tier list, biting. We have samples in here so we can all try them as samples. We do them.
The only,
none of this, like, we're only getting samples if we get sponsored, so we need to call Nabisco to tell us, send us every Oreo flavor, and we will try them.
Let's get them on the phone. Nabisco.
Company, right?
Actually, there is only one correct answer, and that is original Oreos.
Flat
that's
out.
It.
What about double stuff?
No!
That's not really flavor.
It's still different.
The birthday cake Oreos are garbage.
No!
Double stuff, I will die on this hill. Right, double stuff is not a flavor.
You know what?
Even though they're the same Oreos, the Halloween ones that are orange in the middle taste
horrible.
Better.
Horrible! Horrible!
What about the red ones? No. The red ones are the same flavor.
Nate, read us out. Stop this madness right now.
All right, that's going to be it for Checkpoint AFK. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today. You can catch us live over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp on Fridays. Checkpointxp.com is where you can find out more info about the show, interviews from past episodes, a whole lot more. Brand new shows coming out this week. That's over at checkpointxp.com. Stay up to date on all the latest by following us on social media, CheckpointXP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And if you like the show, consider dropping by our Apple Podcast feed and giving us a rating and a review.
You better do it.
Checkpoint XP is a production of Beasley Esports XP. For the Checkpoint XP crew, Chad Callahan, Weird Beard, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, I'm Nate Bender. Keep listening.
I'm put the S tier up back again. Ha ha! Lemon or not damn.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.